Our most loving Father and our gracious God, we come to Thee this hour, and we do bless and praise Thee for the infallible truth of Thy Word. We thank, Lord, of the psalmist. He said he would delight himself in the law of the Lord. O our gracious God, we pray that Thy law, Thy Word, will be our delight. Even, Lord, as we heard this morning, the importance of the Word. For, Lord, it is when we read the Word that we read of the promises of God, promises the Lord has made regarding His church. And, O Lord, if we do not read the Word, we'll never know anything about these promises. If we do not know anything about the promises, we shall never claim the promises. We shall never rest on the promises. O gracious God, help us to stand on the promises of God. Help us, Lord, to search the Scriptures. And dear Lord, to see the promises and to wait for the Lord to give us promises. And so, Father, come tonight. Bless the Word to our waiting hearts. Encourage us tonight from Thy truth. We ask these things in Thy name. Amen. Isaiah, the servant of the Lord, while ministering to Hezekiah, king of Judah, was called upon to perform some very difficult duties. His name means Jehovah is my helper. And when you look at this chapter 20 of 2 Kings, you can see that those things that Hezekiah was called upon to do, he most certainly needed the help of Jehovah. For we see Isaiah here as not only as a prophet, we see him in many respects as a priest, as he intercedes for Hezekiah. We also see him as a physician, because he told Hezekiah what to do regarding his affliction. And so let us look at this man Hezekiah, as we read about him here in chapter 20. First of all, we see that this man, Hezekiah, was a man who was in touch with heaven. He received the word of the Lord. We read in the opening verse, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord. So Isaiah was in touch with God to know. He had to be in touch with God to know exactly what to say to the king of Judah. And this was a solemn message he was called upon to deliver. He received the word of the Lord. Look at verse 4. And it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, came to Isaiah. So here is a man who is in communion with God, he's in touch with heaven, he knows the very mind of God. Dear Christian, may we be like Isaiah. May we know this walk with God. We are in touch with the Lord and we know the mind of the Lord. Something else about Hezekiah, he recognized the will of God. For we read in verse 9, after Hezekiah had asked for a sign that the Lord would heal him, Isaiah said in verse 9, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord. And so Isaiah was able to say to Hezekiah with great authority, you will have a sign from God. It is God's will, it is the mind of God to give you a sign. Isaiah knew then what the will of God was. And once more, may we know what the will of God is for our lives. Something else about Isaiah, he was ready for the work of God. And you look at how difficult this work was for this man. Because he first of all had to report to Hezekiah the word of the Lord. And what was that word in verse 1? Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. This was a word he had received from God, and he had to deliver it. And it was a difficult word, it was a hard message to deliver, to say to the king of Judah, you're to set your house in order, because the Lord has told me to tell you, you're going to die, and you'll not live. Most certainly needed the help of Jehovah to preach that word. Sometimes the gospel preacher is called upon to preach a very difficult message. He needs the Lord's help at all times, of course. But in particular, in set occasions, he needs God's help in a very special way. Think of the meeting we had here a few weeks ago, the memorial service. We needed the help of God that day in a very special way. And the Lord was good. You notice something else about Isaiah. He had another difficult task. He not only had to report the word of the Lord to Hezekiah, but he had to go back to Hezekiah on another occasion, and he had to rebuke him. He had to rebuke the king of Judah. For we read in verse 14, Isaiah had just shown men from Babylon all around his palace, shown him into every room. Everything he had, he revealed everything to the Babylonians. He shouldn't have done that. And we read in verse 14, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in mine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is no thing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day is come, that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. Verse 18, and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away. They shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. It was a hard message to deliver. But he was ready for the work of God. This is what the Lord had called him to do. He was ready for the work of God. Not only do we see this in his prophesying and his preaching, but also in his praying. He was ready for the work of God when it came to the matter of prayer. For verse 11, as we read tonight, Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord. He cried unto the Lord. Isaiah was a man of prayer. We learn these things tonight about Hezekiah, all because of Hezekiah's. We learn these things about Isaiah all because of Hezekiah's sickness. And it is his sickness that we want to consider tonight in the prayer meeting which followed. I want us to consider, first of all, Hezekiah and his sickness. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death? Here we have the hour of his sickness. In those days. What days were they? What was particular about those days? If you were to read the closing verses of the previous chapter, you will see there that God had given Hezekiah wonderful victory over the Assyrians, led by Sennacherib. Sennacherib and the Assyrians, you remember, had surrounded Jerusalem and greatly troubled Hezekiah. And Hezekiah sought the Lord, and the Lord had come in a mighty way, in a miraculous way, defeated the Assyrians and given Hezekiah wonderful victory. Verse 35 of the previous chapter, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord went out and smote the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went and returned and dwelt at Nineveh. Hezekiah's sickness came at a time when he had just enjoyed a great victory. He had been lifted up to the heights in victory. And now he's brought down to the depths. He's at death's door in a very short time. In those days in which he was rejoicing in this great victory, in those days Hezekiah was sick unto death. Now we must ask ourselves, if we believe in a sovereign God, and we believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, we then must ask ourselves, why did this sickness come upon Hezekiah in those days? We do not have the full answer here in 2 Kings, but we do have the answer, I believe, in 2 Chronicles. Turn to 2 Chronicles 32. 2 Chronicles 32. And we read there in verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. Verse 23, and many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. Then we read, in those days Hezekiah was sick. Hezekiah had just enjoyed a great victory. People were coming to him from all over the land, bringing gifts unto the Lord and presents to Hezekiah, And it says, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations. Hezekiah was now seen as a mighty man. And it was just then, in those days, that Hezekiah was sick unto death. And this sickness came in the time of the Lord, because it would have been very easy for Hezekiah to have become puffed up and filled with self-glory. He has been exalted in the sight of all the nations. All the nations round about, they see Hezekiah now as a mighty man. But now he's brought low. And this sickness came from the Lord. And it came from the Lord to keep Hezekiah humble. Because after a great victory like this, there was the danger. There was the danger of Hezekiah glorifying self. And here was the Lord reminding Hezekiah that at his very best, he was just a man. We see this danger again and again in Scripture. Turn with me, please, to Hosea, first of the minor prophets. Daniel, and then Hosea chapter 13. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 5. I did know thee in the wilderness, the Lord speaking to his people. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. Their heart was exalted. And as a result of that, they forgot the Lord. And this sickness that came upon Hezekiah came from the Lord, and it was a mercy. Dear Christian, how many of us look upon our times of sickness as a mercy from the Lord? This was a mercy because it kept Hezekiah from exalting himself and his heart being exalted. We have the same thing in Obadiah. In Obadiah chapter verse 4. Just Obadiah just before Jonah. Obadiah. And there in verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. It's easy to become, for our hearts to be exalted. In fact, if we go back again to our reading in 2 Kings, we discover something. We discover that whenever Hezekiah had been healed and the Lord was pleased to set the sun back 10 degrees, it was then that the Babylonians came. And here we see the very danger. Realize now Here is Hezekiah, and he has become exalted in his own heart. He has become puffed up. And he has paid for it. Because the Babylonians came to him with their gifts and their presents. And he opened the doors of his palace, and he brought the Babylonians in. The Babylonians, that ungodly race of people. The pagan nation. And here is the servant of God, and he welcomes them into his house. When the sickness came upon Hezekiah, it was to keep him humble. You remember the prayer of Paul? 2 Corinthians 12, and how he sought the Lord for this thing, this thorn in his flesh. He sought the Lord 3 times that this thorn in the flesh might be removed, whatever it was. And there in 2 Corinthians 12, we read in verse 6, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." Verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." And here we see, dear child of God, the goodness of the Lord. When sickness comes, perhaps we do not see our sickness as a token from the Lord, as a sign of the mercy of God. But it was a mercy in Paul's life and in the life of Hezekiah. So we have the hour of his sickness. And then we look again, and we could say that we see here the horror of his sickness, because Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." There's the horror of his sickness. Thou shalt die. This is a sickness unto death. Hezekiah, you're going to die. And to emphasize it, the prophet says, "Thou shalt not live. Thou shalt die." That would have appeared to have been enough. "Thou shalt die," but he goes on to say, "and not live." In fact, if we were to look at the original, we would see that what Isaiah really said to him is, "Thou art a dead man. You're a dead man." If he was saying, "Hezekiah, you're dead already." Whenever they lead a man from his condemned cell to the electric chair, the prisoners say there is a dead man walking, because the man is dead already. There's no hope for him. He's a dead man walking. Hezekiah, in many ways, was a dead man walking. The word that the servant of God brought to him was a solemn word. "Hezekiah, the sickness will be the death of you. You're going to die and you'll not live. And then you have the home. Here's Hezekiah's home. The Lord doesn't say to Hezekiah, set thy kingdom in order. But he says, set thine house in order. And the word there that is used for order is someone giving orders as opposed to he putting those things in place. He was to give orders. There were things in his house that needed to be attended to, that needed to be done before death took him. And you know there is here a solemn lesson. There's a solemn word for us. If this word came to us, thou shalt die and not live. And the Lord said, set thine house in order. There are things need to be attended to. I wonder right now, what things would we need to attend to? What things would we need to put right? There are things that have been left unfinished. Unfinished business. This is really the sense of these words. Hezekiah, there's some unfinished business to attend to in your house. You need to attend to it before you die. You're a dead man already. You need to attend to unfinished business. I'm sure if we gave it some thought, there would be some unfinished business that each one of us would need to attend to. Things that need to be put right. Someone who needs to be spoken to. For the unsaved, of course, there would need to be preparation. Set thine house in order. Need to make preparation for the day of your death. And then we have Hezekiah and his supplications. Verse 2, we read, then he turned his face to the wall and prayed on to the Lord, saying, we have all kinds of theories put forth regarding this matter of Hezekiah turning to the wall. Far better just to take the simple way out. I believe that Hezekiah, being a very sick man, he was sick nigh on to death. It was a matter of Hezekiah lying in the sick bed and simply turning to the wall for some privacy, as it were, and there to seek the face of God. Here we have Hezekiah's response. His response to the news. Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed. Mr. Fletcher was just telling me today about, as he mentioned this morning, just how ill he was at the beginning of the year. And he was about to tell his congregation that he was going to resign. because of his illness. In fact, the week before, he had told his congregation that he had to consider his future. He didn't want to be a hindrance to the work there in Calgary because of his illness. He told me about a man in the church who, in response to this announcement, went to the elder. They just have one elder in the church there, Father Mr. Jim Warnock. And he went to Mr. Warnock's house, spoke to him about Mr. Fletcher's announcement the Sabbath day before, and he said to Mr. Warnock, "We have to do something." He says, "We have to do something to help the minister. What can we do?" And the man said to Mr. Warnock, he says, "I can't preach, I'm not a preacher. But we have to do something." He said to Mr. Warnock, "What about a prayer meeting?" What about a prayer meeting? This man thought this was his response. Thank God for that man. He knew where to go. And they had a prayer meeting and prayed for God's servant. You know, that's not always the case. Strange to say, it is not always the case. We read in the Word of God of others who were sick and seriously ill, but they didn't think about praying. They didn't think of bringing this matter to the Lord in prayer. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. In verse 11, 2 Chronicles 16 and 11, "And behold the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. He put more confidence in the physicians than he did in the Lord. He trusted the physicians more than he did the Lord. That is repeated over and over again. I have heard it. Been in the company of believers and talk about certain matters and certain troubles and problems. But I've yet to hear them say, we need to have a prayer meeting. We need to get this matter and bring it before God." And it blessed my own heart when Mr. Fletcher told me about that man. Dear Christian, let us learn from Hezekiah. We have a need, and we all have needs. Let's have a prayer meeting. And so this was Hezekiah's response. And then you have Hezekiah's request. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. No, he didn't seek the physicians as Israel did, he sought the Lord. Yes, we need to seek physicians, as we shall see in a moment. We need their help. But let's not leave out the Lord. In verse 3, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Hezekiah wept sore. Now we have pointed this out before. Hezekiah didn't ask the Lord to come and touch him or heal him. I have no doubt that was in his heart. But he petitioned the Lord and he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember. And here is a man at this point in time is at a death's door. He's been told his sickness is unto death. He has been told he's going to die. He better set his house in order. He's going to die. And what does Hezekiah do when he comes before God? He asks the Lord to remember. He says, Lord, remember how I have lived. Lord, look back into my life. Take a look at my past. None of us would want to do that. We're about to enter into eternity. And we ask the Lord, Lord, look at my past. We all know that when we look into our past ourselves, we see the times. And remember the times we failed God and the mistakes we made. Here's Hezekiah, and he asked the Lord to look back. This was his petition and his past. For he says, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth. He asked him to look at three things. How I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Look at my pathway. I've walked the highway of holiness, walked before thee in truth. He's walked the pathway of holiness. He has lived before God with a perfect heart. That is not in any way suggesting that Hezekiah was sinless. No, the word, as we all know from our study in Hebrews, you know the word means complete, or that which is completed, or finished, or whole. And what this word here has to say about Hezekiah is that he lived his life for God wholeheartedly. That's what it means. He wholeheartedly lived for God. Can we say that? We look into our past, the years of our Christian pilgrimage in this scene of time, could we say we've lived wholeheartedly for God? We have walked the pathway of holiness. And then he said, and have done that which is good. Here we have Hezekiah and his practical help, his perfect heart, and his pathway of holiness. His practical help. I have done, this is what I have done. Mr. Fletcher was telling me again of a man who left the church some time ago and sits at home, and he has criticized Mr. Fletcher's ministry. He criticizes the people in the church. Mr. Fletcher had said to him, "Right, what have you done? Tell me what you have done for the Lord." Of course, the man had done nothing. Nothing. And yet he was sitting there in the seat of judgment, condemning everyone else, because in his eyes they weren't doing right. Well, here's Hezekiah. He was able to look back on his life, and he had been a practical Christian. He had done that which was good. It's a way to live. If we haven't lived that way up until now, well, there's no time like the present. Let's start living like this. In fact, turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings 8. Here's a great prayer of Solomon. The dedication of the temple. 1 Kings 8. He's coming near the end of his prayer. He's praying for the people. Verse 60 of 1 Kings 8, verse 60. "That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let your heart," addressing the people, "therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day." This day, start today, at the dedication of the temple. This day that marks the dedication of the temple, dedicate yourselves to the Lord. Let your heart before the Lord, be perfect before the Lord, your God. Walk in His statutes, as Hezekiah did. He had walked in the truth. Keep His commandments. He had done good. And this is what Solomon expected of all of his people. His petition, his past, and his pain. Once again, the commentators, in seeking to interpret the tears of Hezekiah, have given all kinds of reasons for Hezekiah's weeping. And if you look there again closely at the words, it says, "Hezekiah wept sore." And the word "sore" means he wept with great weeping. And I thought to myself, why should Hezekiah weep after saying to the Lord, "I have walked before Thee in truth, I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done good in thy sight. After saying these words and having such a testimony, why should Hezekiah then weep? I believe Hezekiah wept and wept sore because in spite of all he had done, he wished he had done more. And then we have an opportunity to reflect on our past, on her deathbed. Maybe a tear will trickle down our face also when we think that her life has been spent and how I wish I had done more. And Hezekiah wept. It wasn't his fear of death that caused him to weep. I don't believe that. There's no hint of that in these words in his prayer. Hezekiah wept sore. And then you have the reply. We have the reply and verse 4, and it came to pass afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Isn't it good to know that the Lord sees our tears? It would appear that Hezekiah was praying here all alone. He had turned his face to the wall. Nobody else would have seen his tears if he had turned his face to the wall. They were hidden from you. But they were not hidden from the eye of God. And I tell you, that's good. First of all, you have the arrest of Isaiah. We're told there, and before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, the Lord arrested him at the middle court. I thought to myself, why did the Spirit of God include that detail? Why did the Lord arrest him there at the middle court? In 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 7, you will read there that it was in the middle court, or the middle of the court, an open space, an open area, no roof, no covering, where Solomon had set up an altar, and there he had offered sacrifices unto the Lord, burnt offerings unto the Lord. It was in the middle court, where there was the altar, where there was the altar of sacrifice, reminds us of Calvary. And it is through Calvary that our prayers are answered. You have the arrest and you have the answer. I hope you don't get weary of me pointing out this fact, but it keeps coming up time after time after time. You look there at verses 5 and 6, you will see that the Lord answered Hezekiah's prayer in five ways. For we read Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, verse 5, I have heard thy prayer and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will. What will he do? I will heal thee. That's one. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord. That's two. Verse 6, and I will add on to thee, to thy days 15 years. That's three. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. That's four. And I will defend this city for my own sake. That's five. The Lord answers prayer. It's all according to his grace. Hallelujah. And then you have the awareness of the Lord regarding the tears of Hezekiah. I have heard thy prayer. And good to know the Lord hears our prayers. And it's good to know that he sees our tears. In Psalm 56 and verse 8, the psalmist prays, Lord, put my tears in my bottle. Are they not in thy book? The Lord records in his book our tears, and in a bottle he puts our tears. Our tears are precious to the Lord. When you think of the Lord that resurrection morning, and Mary stood there, and what was the first thing the Lord said to her? Woman, why weepest thou? The Lord took note of her tears first of all. The tears of the saints of God are precious in the Lord's sight. Said, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? But he saw her tears first. And dear Christian, those times that you turn your face to the wall and you pray alone and you pray in the quietness and maybe in the darkness of your room, and no one else hears that prayer, and no one else sees the tears, know this, God hears, and God sees the tears. And the Lord said to Isaiah, tell Hezekiah, I have heard his prayer, I have seen his tears, I will add to his days. The Lord didn't say, I have heard his prayer and I will answer his prayer. The Lord said, I have heard his prayer. The hearing of her prayers is the answer. It's not hearing and answering. When the Lord hears, he will answer. There is, of course, Hezekiah and his sign. And he asks for the sun to go back 10 degrees. You might think that that was a weakness on the part of Hezekiah when he asked for a sign that the Lord was going to heal him. It was far from weakness on the part of Hezekiah, because his father, the Lord asked his father in Isaiah 7 to ask for a sign, and he wouldn't do it, and the Lord rebuked him. And so Hezekiah did what his father was reluctant to do. Hezekiah asked for a sign, and he asked for such a sign, such a move of God. You think of it, everybody in the world would have known about it. Everybody would have known about it. If Hezekiah hadn't asked for a sign, nobody would have known. Few would have known, rather, what had happened in the palace there, the temple in Jerusalem. But when God set the sun back 10 degrees, everybody knew. Because it changed the time right across the globe. Believer, we need to ask God for great things. That not only will we know about it, the whole world will know about it. Let us pray to that end. And Hezekiah asked the Lord to do the most difficult thing, at least in the eyes of man, put the sun back. Let us ask God for great things. As Mr. Fletcher told us this morning, those things that are impossible. For he smiles at impossibilities and declares it shall be done. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we bless thee and thank thee that thou art our God tonight, the one who answered the prayer of Hezekiah. Lord, answer our prayers in a way that all will know that thou art God. Lord, thou didst bring Israel out of Egypt. And Lord, thou didst deliver thy people because their cry had come up to thee. But we know, Lord, that thou dost not only deliver Israel in order to bring them out of Egypt and into the land of promise, thou didst deliver Israel in order that thy name might be magnified. O God, we pray tonight with all of our hearts, magnify thy name in Port Hope. May everyone know there is a God in heaven. Lord, be with us now. May we take this word with us and all that we have heard today in this house, may we meditate upon those things. And Lord, like David, while he mused, the fire burned. Cause the fire to burn in our hearts today. Be with us, Lord, as we travel. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.